Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome to another episode of the German Football Podcast, and you're probably surprised to hear the voice of me. So Roy is taking a bit of a step back this week. I think we're going to share the work around a bit more. We're all busy men, so we're all going to take a wee bit of a turn for hosting, and I'm the boss this week. Unfortunately, I don't get a pay rise for this, but we'll see how it goes. So I'll introduce our guests, and firstly, I'll go to our usual host, Roy. How are you doing? How does it feel not being the boss?
It's weird. It's weird listening to you do the intro, but it's fine. It's good. I think it's great that we get to share around now.
I'm quite interested to see what your opinions are. Like, we don't usually hear what your opinions are.
I know.
You're usually the one answering the question.
I actually need to make it look like I know what I'm talking about now. So that's going to be fun. it's good. Just settling in with a new job, and I think it's only right considering the type of job that the host didn't come to a wee bit of an end. So we'll see how it goes, but I'll try to give my opinions as well as I can.
We'll see. And we've also got our Drittliga expert, George. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. I'm looking forward to getting a bit of revenge back on Roy for some of the stitch ups he's given me in past podcasts with some questions. So look, I reckon we test his knowledge, especially of any Swiss manager related content or anything like that. I'm very well, thanks. I was gonna say, I kind of feel like a lot of people must have been listening to the podcast last week, especially Josh Sargent, because I spent quite a lot of time slating him last week and how I didn't think he was good enough, and then went and banged in a couple of goals at the weekend. I was also going on about how I thought Unterhaching's current plight wasn't really going to change unless they brought Sandro Wagner in as manager, and they got a win at the weekend against Augsburg's Fire. So it's good to see that some people are listening in high places, and it's interesting to know that Josh Sargent listens to the podcast, and I'm spurring him on. So yeah, that's good.
You've just ruined two of my questions. I've made notes for Josh Sargent and for Sandro Wagner's Unterhaching actually winning a game, because I watched the Unterhaching and Augsburg's Spy highlights on YouTube. If anyone wants to check them out, the Regionalliga Bayern results are very available on YouTube to watch.
Yeah, it's the Bayerisches Fußballbund, where they put them out pretty easily. Yeah.
There you go. You've ruined his first day as a host already, George.
He said it wasn't my plan.
We'll move on from that first setback, though. We'll talk a bit about the Zweite Bundesliga. So, yeah, it was another really exciting weekend, I thought. A few shock results, a few comfortable wins, some 3-0s here and there. So I think we'll start with Friday night. So we've got an early, perhaps surprise leader of the Zweite Liga. We've got Karlsruhe at top, who have won their second game. They beat Darmstadt 3-0. And I think most people would agree that a key man with that was Philipp Hoffmann scoring the double. So I'll come to you, Roy, first. Do you see KSC as promotion contenders potentially? I think a lot of that is contingent on keeping Hoffmann, but if they do keep him, can you see them sticking about?
It's the same as last season, though. They did so well to keep up with the pack until maybe the last 10 match days. It just depends if they can keep that consistency going for a full season. But I totally agree with Hoffmann. Hoffmann was brilliant, took his goals well. I mean, Darmstadt, they were completely flighted with COVID issues, so a bit of a depleted team. So you can't be really too shocked with the result. I was impressed with Karlsruhe last season, and this season they've started really brightly. So for me, they can be up there. I don't think they'll finish in the top three just by looking at them from the early set, but that could all change. It just depends if they can keep that consistency going. They looked like they were doing last season, but like, it's just one of those teams that sometimes it falls away towards the end, and it might happen again this year.
Yeah, I thought they definitely overachieved last season, but they do seem to have kept this core of the squad together. Hoffman up front is a figurehead. I mean, he's catapulted them really to a solid Vital League aside. It's quite interesting because he's never really had a reputation as a top striker until recently. It's a bit of a late blooming striker. You know, he'd been at the likes of Kaiserslautern beforehand, hadn't exactly been prolific, and then been down in Dritte Liga, but he's managed to find a home in Karlsruhe. So, yep, great win for them. Darmstadt really made a poor start. They have had those COVID issues, as you mentioned, but it'll be interesting to see if they continue to struggle. So, the other game on Friday night was Paderborn-Nuremberg, so not too much really to say from that. A 2-2 draw. Both the sides got a point in the first game as well. Share a point this week as well. But moving on to Saturday. Saturday afternoon, there were some interesting games. I'll come to you, George, on Hanover and Hansa Rostock. What did you think of that? Was that a shock result for you?
Yeah, it was a bit. I mean, just judging from everything that I saw of Rostock in previous years, I mean, I had a look before we were recording, and they only scored 52 goals in 38 games last year in the Dritte Liga. And like I spent a lot of last season saying they were at no point ever really a prolific high scoring team. So it was quite interesting to see them do that. But, you know, they've got John Verhoek, who is, you know, he's a classic Zweite Bundesliga player. You kind of feel like a bit like what we've been saying with the likes of Terodde and whatnot, that if you can really make your mark in the Zweite Liga with just one striker who's able to score on a consistent basis and one who's got a bit of know-how in the league. And I think they've definitely got that in him. A few younger players, impressive as well. And like I've always said, Rostock are a team that are always capable of keeping a clean sheet. So I was surprised to see them score as many goals as they did against what I thought would be a more decent Hanover side. But you can always back them to keep a clean sheet most of the time. So yeah, they've done well for themselves there.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I watched the highlights, saw the goal scorers, like players like Hanno Behrens, Jean Verhoek, just proper like Zweite Liga experience that might serve them well. Regardless of this result, I do still think they'll be in a relegation battle, but it is useful for them to have that experience. Hanover, what do you think of Hanover, Roy? You don't really know what to expect from them. You feel like looking at the players they've got, they should be better, but I mean, getting a draw at Werder, that was quite a decent result, but then they've just gone at home and done this.
I think I said last week that I thought they could have went on and won that game against Werder last week. And this week, they just seemed all over the place. The signings they made, all the Sebastians coming in, but like aside from that being funny, like I think they've made not bad signings and they've got a decent squad. It seems to be a club that hasn't really got going since they came back down. The last time they came down, they were straight back up, and then they've came straight back down. They've just really not got back into the swing of things, and it just seems to be all going wrong. I agree with the Rostock thing though as well. I think when you're looking at a team that's probably going to be down the bottom, but they were really good energy wise. I thought I liked watching them. Really enjoyed watching them play, to be honest, on Saturday when I was watching the conference. And, you know, players like Strelly Mamba coming back to the league, I mean, that guy's just going to run every time. Hanno Behrens managed to get the most shots in that game, which I don't know if that tells you something about Hanover or tells you something about Hanno Behrens finally coming back to him. Like, he had a great game, to be fair, and him scoring. But from that game, you do put a lot of question marks ahead of Hanover 6 and Leipzig after that, because you shouldn't really be getting beat at home by the team that's just came up from the Dritte Liga 3-0 at home. That's quite a poor result, I'd say. I know George has given me a look there, like Dritte Liga's not that bad. But you know what I mean? It's when the team's just been promoted and you're getting absolutely hammered 3-0 at home in your first home game of the season. It's really disappointing, and the fans must have been really disappointed as well. I almost bought tickets for this game, but there was only tickets for like €60, and I was like, I'm patching that. No chance I'm paying that to go to the Hadia Arena.
Can I just say I wasn't giving you a funny look because of my love for the Drittliga and its quality. I was giving you a funny look because, of course, you can't lose 3-0 at home to the team that's just come up. But Eintracht Braunschweig went one better this week, losing 4-0 at home to a newly promoted side. So it could be worse for Hannover, basically.
Could have been worse. Yeah, that's a good point actually. But yeah, no, I'm really worried about Hannover. Question marks I put on them at the moment for me. I'm worried that they might not do as well as I originally thought.
Are you more worried about Sandhausen, Roy?
Like, we'll come on to them in a minute, George. Come on to them in a minute. Let the boss speak.
I was just going to say, it must be a Niedersachsen thing, losing, getting hammered at home to newly promoted sides. And coincidentally, the next game I was going to move on to was Jan Regensburg 3, Sandhausen 0. And your Sandhausen tip is looking very shaky, I have to say, Roy. Firstly, I'll say Jan Regensburg, another great result for them. I thought it was a very solid opening win for them at Darmstadt. But they've gone one better with a 3-0 win against Sandhausen this time. So they're second place, only in goal difference now. But what's going wrong at Sandhausen, Roy?
I don't know, because I had them tipped for promotion. That I'm joking. I did say, I know this is going to come back to bite me in the arse the whole time. I did say it'll take them time to gel, but there'll be good signings coming in. So this is their time, they're gelling, they're getting there. I mean, I don't know why I bigged up this Omar Diakate as well. From like I mentioned him last time when he signed, and then he gave away a penalty, and then he got sent off in this game. So he's clearly not the signing that I originally thought he was going to be for Sandhausen this season. Like, there's something going on in Regensburg at the moment. No idea what's happening. Like, for them to be joint top of the league at the moment, you know, 3-0-1. Okay, Sandhausen's a team that will be relegated. That's a team that you look at and you want to take points from. But it's the same with Regensburg at the moment. So Sandhausen will be really disappointed with that. But Regensburg will be absolutely delighted to see that they're at start and they're 6 points already from two. Great goal from Buclafa as well. I mean, a bit of a mix-up from the defence, but it was a great strike to find the bottom corner. And, you know, for me, Regensburg will still struggle. They'll maybe do that Augsburg last season in the Bundesliga, where Augsburg started off really well and came crashing down, nearly looked like they're going to relegation. Maybe the 6 points will help them come the end, because maybe the last couple of seasons they wouldn't have picked up any by now. So it's an interesting one, but there's something going on really well. Something's going right in Regensburg and something just isn't clicking yet for Sandhausen. But I think it'll come. I think it will come.
Yeah, I don't really see Regensburg sustaining this, but I think just to make the start in the first two games is pretty surprising. In the end of last season, they couldn't really buy a goal. They were really struggling. The coach, Selim Begovic, was under a lot of pressure. So I think it is pretty surprising they have made this start. We'll see if they can keep it up. So the other Saturday afternoon game was Ingolstadt 1, Heidenheim 2, which George is probably pleased with Ingolstadt losing. I have to say, the main thing to talk about from this game was the hilarious long-range goal from Tim Kleindienst. I just saw this goal and started laughing. Like, the way Ingolstadt hit the bar, and then the ball sort of broke to the halfway line, then one of the players miskicked it, and then Kleindienst just fires this 45-yard shot and it bounces over the keeper. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you can rest assured that I was I saw the humor in it as well. It wasn't even, if strangely for a goal just inside the opposition half, it wasn't even really that good of a strike. He kind of like I don't know, it wasn't like any real power behind it, but the keeper was so far out and the defense was just so all over the place that it kind of just rolled into the net in the end. But yeah, like I said, I'm good to see Ingolstadt continuing their poor start to the season, despite going 1-0 up. And all I can say is, yeah, long may it continue. I mean, I'm excited to see how Heidenheim will perform this season. I mean, obviously, they had the setback after losing in the playoff 2 years ago and didn't quite manage to come back from that. And like with players like Kleindienst in this side, you wonder to what extent they can mount a bit more of a challenge this season. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, you did see last season when Kleindienst came back to Heidenheim with it. He came back in and started with scored goals immediately, really, in the second half of last season. So having him for a full season, I think Heidenheim could definitely be dark horses for promotion. So I would say on the Saturday, those were afternoon games, but the game of the weekend, you'd have to say, was the game at night, Fortuna Düsseldorf 2, Werder Bremen 3. I think you'd have to say it's the kind of game that encapsulates the chaos of the league, particularly the last few minutes. What did you think of it, Roy?
Absolutely mental. That is vitally good. I was watching it with Robert, actually, and we were just looking at it. As soon as the Cagliari goal went in, we obviously looked at each other and went, well, you guys, that's fight the Bundesliga. and then Bremen have just ran up, and Max Eggestein's just went and put it in, and we're like, okay, well, that's Zweite Bundesliga. That's even more Zweite Bundesliga. You couldn't have more of a Zweite Bundesliga game and a Zweite Bundesliga game with two teams that probably could be Bundesliga quality, which makes it just that even tiny bit better. It was a good game on a whole. If you look at everything, all five goals were taken well. The penalty was a bit funny giveaway. I think it was definitely a penalty from Nari. It just, that again, just captures the fact that he went and scored a great, well, it looked like a weird miss hit, but it turned out to look like a really good goal from Nari. I don't know if you guys agree. It looked like, I remember like questioning like if he'd actually deflected or if it was just a weird way he hit it. And then he ran down and gave away a penalty the other end. Brilliant. But it was a good game. Good goals from, and Josh Sargent, clearly, George, like, he must have listened to him and just went, you know what? I'm going to get back at that guy. Two goals this weekend. So, Bremen fans, I want you to say bad things about him all the time, George.
We'll go the opposite direction that, George. Do you think Sargent can now, I mean, providing that Werder can actually keep a hold of him, do you think he can become a key player in Zweite Liga? Maybe turn himself into that goal-scoring striker that he's never really been?
Yeah, I know. And I know I just said earlier about the importance of a consistent striker in this Zweite Liga, and that obviously that sort of reminded me in that game of watching Ruben Hennings as well. He's the exact sort of player you want. He's just gonna, with a bit, obviously with a lot more experience than him and Tirode and players like that, a lot more experience than Sargent in the Zweite Liga, but just a consistent goal scorer. I mean, I don't really think that Füllkrug is going to be that for Bremen. I think Sargent, obviously, in this game showed that he has the potential. I mean, his first goal, especially, was taken really well, really impressively. It sort of had the calmness in front of goal, which I think he often lacked in his time in the Bundesliga. And he seems to be getting more minutes with the US national team as well. And you just hope that more goals. And like I said, I reckon they probably will be able to keep hold of him for the moment. I think he probably would have gone by now if he was going to leave, but that's probably now going to change given my track record of predictions on the podcast. I didn't have anything personally against Sargent, and I would like to see him help Bremen get back to the Bundesliga, but he'll just have to prove himself to be a good striker in the Zweite Bundesliga. I was going to say the main thing I was the main takeaway I had from this game is one of sadness about Szymanowski getting subbed off and receiving a fat 5.0 rating from Kicker. So I've also been hyping him up and how much I was the high hopes I had for him at Fortuna, and he's not really proving me to be a good analyst of football at the moment. So I'm getting disappointed all around. But yeah, would like to see Szymanowski step up as well.
Maybe your criticism of him this week will propel him to new heights next week, and he'll
that is the plan.
Score a hat trick. Yeah. I don't know how much you can read from the first couple of games, but what do you think about these two sides, Roy? Do you think they're promotion candidates?
You know, they kind of have to be. I think both of them have to be. I can't remember if I mentioned it in the podcast, but I've said it off podcast that I kind of tipped the two off to do quite well this year. I just feel like there's a bit more of a team coming together there now, and a couple of decent signings coming in. For me, they should be up with there. Bremen, you just don't know, because you still don't know if they're going to keep all the players that are still there, and you're still a bit unsure. I know George said there about Füllkrug maybe not being your your 20-goal-a-season striker, but he still should be a lower Bundesliga-quality striker, so he should have no problems in this league. I think he maybe just needs one to get him going. He's been injured for a couple of seasons now. But like this likes of Yuya Sako, he could probably still do a job for lower Bundesliga sides. Will he manage to get out there, or is he going to stay? Eggestein, I mean, I know he's got a penalty, but he's still scoring a goal. There's still a chance he could go. It just depends on what happens. Toprak looked a bit poor for me on Saturday night. He looked a bit all over the place sometimes, especially for the goals. And I don't know, their bench doesn't fill me with confidence, basically, is what I'm trying to get out saying. It just took a long time to get there. The bench they put out there, I mean, you're looking at maybe Johannes Eggestein, who had a season in Austria last year. Muvald never really got his opportunity. I mean, I remember scoring 10 seconds after coming off as a sub, but apart from that, he didn't really get a proper chance. Agu looks okay when he's on, but he doesn't seem to have given that confidence yet for Manfang to start a game. Instead of three, though. So I don't know, there's something there that they, I'm not going to say they're not going to be up there, they should be up there. It's just, I wouldn't say they're out and out winners.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely got Bundesliga standard players, maybe some players that you wouldn't have thought they would have retained, maybe slightly surprising that they're still there. It's just a case of them retaining it, and really with the likes of Fulkrug making sure that he stays fit, because he's not really had a full season, I don't think. I mean, I can't remember that. Maybe when Hannover got promoted a few seasons ago in the Zweite Liga. But even then, I think he was coming back from an injury. So it's just that kind of player that you can't really rely on staying fit. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with both sides. So move on to Sunday, though. Haasvall and Dresden played a one-each draw. It's a big match for Roy. Roy actually was at this game on work duty. Did you enjoy it?
No, not at all. No, I'm joking. But it was good fun. A bit frantic, but game was good. I think everyone who watched that game, watched the highlights from that game, will see Haasvall probably should have won it from the get-go. Like, they should have scored 2 or 3 in the first half. Second half, they just didn't come out and Dresden got back into the game. It's basically the story of the game. There's two halves. Haasvall in the first one, Dresden in the second one. And a draw, maybe like a fair result in the end, but Dresden didn't really offer anything for me. I was actually quite disappointed with them. I expected them to come and do what they looked like they were doing against Ingolstadt. It'd be really free-flowing attacking, but they were quite defensive and set back. And for me, Haasvall had the right game plan. They look like they're going to play good football this year, actually. So I'm actually interested to see how they do, considering how, I think the pressure's off them at the moment as well. I don't think anyone's helping them to win the league. No one's saying they need to win the league. So I'm interested to see. But from being in that stadium, 17,000 were there. Felt like a full house. It was really cool. It was a good experience. I mean, I didn't get to see the other games, though. But, yeah, Haasvall probably should have won that game on Sunday. No bias at all. Just generally, if anyone watched that, they would have seen the chances that they missed.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the performance and creating chances is all well and good, but I think it's just the same story as previous seasons, that not taking the chances kills them in the end, conceding an equaliser in the second half. Seen it so many times in previous seasons, and it's the kind of thing that has really hampered them in the running, particularly towards the end of seasons, I think. But see how they go. What about Dresden, George? I think Roy wasn't too complimentary about the performance, but it is a really solid start for them, those 4 points in the first two games.
Yeah, I think the main thing when I think about Dresden in the Zweite Bundesliga is that they've managed to create a very well-rounded and well-balanced side. I mean, I was personally very complimentary about their attacking ability when they were in the Dritte Liga last year. And they've managed to pretty much maintain all of their attacking players. But I mean, they've obviously, Brohl, the keeper, had an outstanding game, probably the man of the match in this game, making a few really, really impressive saves. But he's got the two centre-halves, Knipping, the captain who scored the goal, and they've brought in Solbauer from Barnsley, actually. But I think he's played most of his football in Austria, experienced head of the back. That sort of allow their attacking players like Yannick Stark, the sort of anchor of their midfield. And then they've got the likes of Königsdorfer on the wing, who's a really attacking, is really player with a lot of potential going forward. I think he's still quite young, he's about 20 or 21. I think he spent most of his youth at Hertha. I was always impressed when I saw him last year. And then Dafner, the legend of the podcast. And then they've also, they're bringing players off like Heusener off the bench. So I think they'll be, I mean, I said it before, but I think they'll be perfectly fine in the Zweite Bundesliga. It's exactly where they belong, if not higher in the future. But yeah, very well-balanced side. And I think they managed to frustrate Haasfau in this game, which is which will get you a long way in this league. So I always feel a bit like a proud mother sometimes seeing some teams going up from the Dritte Liga to the Zweite Bundesliga, depending on who they are. Ingolstadt not included in that. But it is good to see teams like Dresden and Rostock doing well. And yeah, that's proving that the Dritte Liga is full of talent.
Yeah, and I don't want to look like I'm criticising Dresden by saying like I don't really impressed by them. That's why I agree with George. I think they should be doing better against them when they are a team like that. They shouldn't be really trying to be defensive and frustrating as far. I think they should be going for a game there. They kind of suited to do that. And that's why I was disappointed. I didn't think they were bad. I just was disappointed that they never really went with the same game plan they did the week before. Just in case it looks like I was just saying, oh, Dresden was shite, you know, kind of thing, just in case.
I remember last time they got promoted how well they played, their playing style. Remember the game that they hammered Stuttgart? 5-1 or something like that. Ridiculous. They finished top 5 or 6, I'm sure. This season, just the promoted side again, but they would take just consolidating the position in the league, then kicking on from that, I think. But solid point regardless, I would say. In the last game, Erzgebirge getting 0-0, St. Pauli 0. Really, probably not much to say from this. Maybe Aue are going to be the bore side of the season, drawing their first game 0-0, drawing their second game 0-0. St. Pauli, 3-0 win the first game. Don't really know how much you can say about this, just another clean sheet. And we've saved the best till last in the Zweite Liga. I'll pretend that I didn't forget about this game. Kiel 0, Schalke 3. I was quite pleasantly surprised at this game, Schalke. I was thinking after the first game, same old Schalke, but that's it's a really commanding result, this one. Tiroda getting a double, Marius Bülter scoring. Schalke with their first away win since 2009, I believe. 2019. That's what it feels like. But George, I don't know what you think. Do you think this is Schalke with a chance to kick on now and really stamp their authority in the league?
I think I'd come back to what I was saying last week, that with the amount of new players that Schalke have brought in, they definitely have the potential to sort of get rid of the sort of mentality that has been plaguing them over the previous sort of season and a half. And that's kind of shown by all three goals being scored by the new players coming in, of Tiroda, of course, getting two. And it's good to see Bülter getting on the score sheet as well. I still just feel reluctant to completely buy into the sort of Schalke hype train, because you just never know. Obviously, it's good with the new players starting fresh, but will they be able to maintain it? Will the sort of pressure catch up with them? Because I feel like they probably are under a lot of pressure to maybe come back in the next season, if not within the next two seasons, or at least put in an impressive performance in every game. And now they've sort of laid down a marker by beating a previously quite well-fancied Kiel side in a quite emphatic fashion, that they're going to go into all the games against the bigger teams in the Zweite Bundesliga with an expectation to win. I know this of the first game against Haasfau didn't get off to the didn't end that well for Schalke in the end, but sort of going forward, if in games against the likes of, you know, Fortuna, Karlsruhe, etc., if they'll Bremen as well, if they'll be able to carry on competing and sort of compete with those around them, it'll be I don't have an answer, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it's too early to say anything definite really about the whole season. I think you've seen previously where sides like Haasfau, making good starts, winning these early games, but they're just a great example of how you just need to sustain that over the season. When a team gets the top and then it seems like they're the favourites, that's often when sides can crumble under the pressure. And I think Schalke, obviously with the massive pressure that the club will be under to get back up, they could suffer from that later on in the season. So it'll be interesting to see. But that's another very bad result for Kilroy. Continued hangover from the playoff. Do you think they'll continue to struggle like this? Are they maybe the victims of a tough start? I mean, playing away to St. Pauli and home to Schalke wasn't really an easy start for them, but can you see any signs that they're going to improve?
It's another one of those where you have a lot of players came in, and it's a lot of kind of younger players as well. So maybe it's just that bedding in period that they're still waiting to have. I think Arp is a player who needs to score to gain confidence. So whenever he manages to get that first goal, I think he might begin to pull away. It's difficult to say because he's not really had that proper chance in a long time of game run of games. So give him five games. And if he's not scored by then you can start thinking, okay, they're not gonna be getting the goals from him anyway. They're all just trying to fit in players like Eras coming in. He's also quite young. Skripsi's got a bit of experience with Julian Korb as well coming in. But I don't know, I didn't get to see much of this game, but from the game against St. Pauli, they were really poor. And if they play like that for the next few games, they'll be too far behind that I think that even in as Vita Liga where you can be bottom in like match day 10 and still end up in like third place by the end, you know, I think they need to start picking up points, and you don't want to get cut adrift early on in this league because you find that one team will do, and if you've not picked anything up after like five games, then I'd be worrying. But I still see them finishing about mid-table. I don't see them going for the promotion place this year.
Yeah, I was just gonna say my next player to have an agenda against, he's probably gonna prove me wrong. It's definitely Arp at Kiel since the news came out kind of recently about how much he's earned from Bayern, basically being paid as a pretty much a first team player, despite the fact he's never in struggling to get into the Zweitemannschaft at times and kind of seems to have quite a poor mentality. I mean, I was talking earlier about Szymanski getting a 5.0 rating for Fortuna. Arp actually got 5.5, which is I actually thought it only went up to 5, but clearly not. So I think it's 6 actually. I mean, I think he actually at one point won the Fritz Walter Award when he was quite young. There's always been a lot of potential around him. But I just think his mentality is not in the right place. He probably thinks that he's still in that sort of Bayern elite mentality, which he's clearly not. And by putting in performances as poorly as he has done at the start of the season with Kiel, I don't expect that to change, really.
We should make a new section of the podcast. George roasts this person. So episode 1, George Sargent, episode 2, Fiat Arp.
I'm all about love and kindness, but some players just run. What's the word?
Rally up.
Run you up the wrong way.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
Yeah, rub you up the wrong way.
Sorry, I was a bit.
You're going to go and host him.
I was going to continue there. Sorry.
What do you think? Are you trying to undermine me or something? Yeah, I mean, Arp's one of these players that you're just waiting to kick on. I mean, he's still young. We'll wait and see, but I just think Kiel was a good opportunity for him. Like, not Bayern. He wasn't really going to properly progress while playing for Bayern's second team, despite the fact, I mean, when they were in the Dritte Liga, that's still a decent standard for a young player to be playing in, but of a player of Arp's potential, he'd be wanting to play at a higher standard, so I thought Kiel might have been a good fit for him. It could come good, but we'll have to see. It's definitely not helpful that he's playing in such a struggling side so far. So that ties up things up for the Zweite Liga. There's also a Liga as well, and I'm going to turn to George for this, obviously, our expert. I did catch the Vain 0-1860, which wasn't a great game in terms of the spectacle, but I thought it was great to see the fans in, particularly with a decent-sized away following. I think it was over 1,000 1860 fans, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, wasn't the best game. I mean, I had previously warned that I did actually think that Wiesbaden were quite a decent team and they didn't do anything to prove me wrong in that. I think the headline from this game would be that our second choice keeper, Tom Kretschmar, putting in such an impressive performance with Hiller still impressive performance in two games with Hiller still unfortunately suspended from that extremely questionable red card against how do we always end up back at Ingolstadt and back at that game? But it was much more of a gritty performance, which in all honesty we hadn't seen much of last season. It was much more fluid last season than when we started this season, but I think that's potentially what was missing last year is the games against the tougher sides, which I would include Wiesbaden in that. I mean, they only got relegated a few seasons ago now. So at least it's another clean sheet and still points on the board, which is better than some teams are doing. So just some positives to take away, but definitely room for improvement, especially going forward from an 1860 point of view.
Yeah. One thing I thought, obviously the positives in the crowds, I thought a shame was I see that Dritte Liga sides, they now have extra advertising space on their shirts, so the back of it. So a lot of the teams don't have the club names on the back of the shirts anymore, which is always a feature of German football I quite like, seeing the player's name, but the club's name, particularly when it's at the top. But a lot of the clubs now have sponsors in place of that. I thought that was quite a shame. But any other games from the Dritte Liga that you thought stood out?
Yeah, I think the absolute standout is, like I said earlier, Victoria Berlin beating Braunschweig 4-0 away. And like the Victoria manager was saying after the game, that we weren't just playing against Braunschweig, we were playing against Braunschweig and all 7,000 of their fans in the stadium, which was true. That I hate to think what a horrible afternoon they had. I mean, it was quite a strange game because they actually did nearly score after 45 seconds, but then conceded 5 minutes into the game with some extremely comical defending, sort of setting a tone for things to come. Sigurdsson is quite an interesting player, got a doppelpack within 30 minutes. He's just come over from Alkenika. And yeah, just all four of the goals that Braunschweig conceded were just scored in some sort of horrific way, some terrible defending. In the last goal, you know, about five defenders trying to tackle the same player. Then Sigurdsson just knocks out to Becker, then just cross it in pretty much unmarked. Victoria now are the very much unexpected leaders of the Dritte Liga in their first ever season. But as Carl Walsh pointed out on Twitter to me, they're not the most popular of the Berlin teams. It's even suggesting that they probably scored more goals, which they have fans, which is something that the people I know at Tennis Borussia Berlin have said to me before. So maybe not as romantic of a story as first meets the eye, but there you go. The only other games I'll mention is probably the extremely funny game, which is, I mean, we were talking about why we love the Zweite Liga earlier, but the game against Osnabrück and Saarbrücken was pretty comical. I mean, Omar Traore getting sent off within 3 minutes of his debut, having come as part of the KFC Oregon Exodus. And then the Earthman, Dennis Erdmann, scoring a pretty terrible own goal by pretty much kicking it into himself to put them 1-0 up. And then he got Saarbrücken scoring an equaliser in the 13th minute through Gunter Schmidt, who'd just come on. Sorry, he just come in from Fortuna Köln. He was very good for them before Corona, I seem to remember. And then just before halftime, you've got what they call in German a Dunkelgelb, if not pretty much a pretty obvious red or a dark yellow from Tartus Hofer from Saarbrücken. And that was all in one half. And then in the second half, pretty much not a lot going on there. So that finished 2-1 to Osnabrück for them to get their first win of the season in a sold out Ludwigsparkstadion. Haller and Toguchi you might want to quickly mention just because of the fact that this was in the Grünwalder Stadion. They're allowed 3,700 fans. Only 850 fans came, and 500 of those were away fans from Haller, who held up a very funny sign which read something like beer without alcohol is like a döner without meat, in protest to the non-alcoholic beer sales in the Grünwalder Stadion at the time. That's about it. I mean, Würzburg have lost again, still yet to score or get any register any points, which is probably a bit worrying for Thorsten Ziegner's men, having only just come down. But yeah, just to round up, a very chaotic, as per usual, weekend in the Drittliga.
Any thoughts, Roy? Any games that you managed to see? Any interesting results? Or did George perfectly round off the Drittliga there?
He's done a perfect job as usual, you know. There's no need to add anything else. I think for me, what's just quite interesting, I know Osnabrück's still got to play one more, and Duisburg has still got to play two. But Victoria Berlin are the only team that's got maximum points so far. I think that's quite an interesting thing for the Drittliga League. And it proves again that it's a really tough league again this year. And everyone who, I know John won't like me saying this, but everyone who tipped 1860 to go and run away with the league, maybe that won't happen. Maybe we'll be quite a close league again. So I'm looking forward to keeping up with the results this year. But this weekend I was a bit hectic with starting a new job, so I didn't get to see much, unfortunately.
That's fair. I mean, I mentioned earlier about how much I laughed at Tim Clydeen's long-range goal, but I'd say second in that was, as George mentioned, Dennis Erdmann's own goal. Whenever the Earthman is on screen, I always sit up and take notice because something entertaining is going to happen. Usually I'm getting a yellow card or a red card, but this time was an own goal, so that was a wee bit of a bonus. I remember, I think it was a couple of seasons ago, the first game of the season was 1860 against Preußen Münster, and Erdmann got booked after about 2 minutes into the new season, and that pretty much sums it up. I was going to move on to Sandro Wagner's Unterhaching winning a game, but that's already been covered, really. And that was really going to be the Regionalliga roundup for this week. But I do believe George has got a bit of news in terms of the Frauen Bundesliga.
Yeah, that's correct. So it was actually announced today that from now on, all of the Frauen Bundesliga games will be shown on Magenta Sport, which, although they are not a sponsor of the pod just yet, it is quite a good deal, I think, because they show all the Drittliga games and now all the Frauen Bundesliga games. I think it's roughly $7.99 a month, could be more, and there's no discount code for anyone to use or anything. But no, it's just a good time for the league to become a lot more accessible to everyone. I mean, Bayern have finally knocked Wolfsburg off their crown after they won four successive titles. They won, that came down to the last day of the season. And you're seeing a lot of the Bundesliga clubs and the male Bundesliga clubs merging with teams in the Frauen Bundesliga. So Eintracht Frankfurt last year took over FFC Frankfurt and have been putting a lot more money into them. Tabina Potsdam, who are traditionally one of the bigger women's teams in Germany, they've entered into a free-year agreement with Hertha Berlin. You've got the German player of the season, well, the Frauen Bundesliga player of the season, not at any of those teams, Nicole Bieler, she's at Hoffenheim. And so, yeah, it's kind of the start of a new era in the Frauen Bundesliga, I suppose you could say, especially with Germany looking to host the 2027 Women's World Cup, along with Holland and Belgium in 2027. So hopefully a lot more accessibility and making it a lot easier to watch the league will help develop the women's game in Germany. But as I think Jonathan Harding pointed out on Twitter, it's just a matter of international rights and being other people being able to watch it from abroad and it becoming a real big league in Europe, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more popular. I think we've seen, even over here after international tournaments, Scotland qualifying for the World Cup, how much women's football, the popularity has increased. So it's great to see it becoming more accessible over in Germany. So that's really, we've covered the last weekend's games. I thought we'd move on to the Pokal now. So first round of Pokal, it's always a massive weekend in the German football calendar, when really the Bundesliga sides play their first competitive game of the season. And we've got a good few ties. I'm just wondering, Roy, are there any that stand out to you? I think the way the Pokal works with the Bundesliga side always playing away from home to maybe a fourth division side or a third division side, there's always the potential for shocks. Are there any that stick out for you?
Game-wise, I'm looking forward to maybe not now because I've not actually started the season well, but I was thinking Kaiserslautern against Gladbach would be quite an interesting one to be watching on Monday night. I'm pretty sure that's on in British TV, Premier Sports on Monday night. I don't know, like shock-wise, I think Cologne could win against Karlsruhe. I think that could be quite a big... No, I'm joking, sorry. But I think Cologne, like it's the first time I think Cologne have actually should probably win. I mean, Karlsruhe, I mean, they haven't done anything this season so far. 1 point from three in the Nordost Regionalliga. I think that the teams, being serious now, I think the teams that could shot are maybe like, I don't want to, like, sorry, Ava, but like, I'd really love to see if like SPVGA Bayreuth are going to shock Arminia Bielefeld, because they've started the season really strong. I think they've won tonight again against Nuremberg 2. They're 12 points from 5 games. They probably should have got promoted. George, you're more up with the Bayern Regionalliga than I am, I think. Well, you live there, so you might know more than me. But I think they could be a team that could end up shocking like Bielefeld, just because they're already 5 games in, they've started it strongly, whereas Bielefeld have kind of haven't had that chance. They've just had pre-season games, so that could be an interesting one. And the other one I'm going to say, big shout, I think Flensburg will beat Kiel. No reasoning. I just think Flensburg will beat Kiel, mainly because that wasn't given to me as a Stadt Derby last week in the quiz from George. So I'll just get a wee dig in there at George again. But yeah, I think Flensburg will beat Kiel. That's my top tip of the weekend.
Roy, I was almost certain that you were going to go for Koblenz to beat Regensburg.
I was going to say it. I was going to say, by any chance, is Rot-Weiss Koblenz versus Jan Regensburg the derby that you were going to guess last week?
No, it was close enough, but no, it will not be that derby. I think Koblenz could do a shift there. I do think they could go for it. I'll get a side.
I think they like you do.
No, they will. I don't even know what to say now. I think they'll be okay. I think they could come over, like, Regensburg's strong start to the season. That means they'll lose a Pokal game, surely. But top tip, Flensburg, a few
interesting shouts there. I think Kaiserslautern and Gladbach is the one I think everybody will look at and probably hope that could be the shock. That would be make a great story. Remember a couple of years ago when Lautern beat Mainz in the first round of the Pokal? We have a local derby and it really made the headlines. So that would be a good one to see on Monday night. Just looking at the list, there's a few good fixtures. Obviously, the Bremer SV versus Bayern one, we've had news that's actually been postponed due to quarantine. So we'll not be able to see that on Friday night. That will have to be rescheduled. Other interesting games, 1860 against Darmstadt. I mean, I don't think that would really be a shock if 1860 were to win. I think that looks quite an even encounter, to be honest. 1860 could take advantage of Darmstadt's poor start. Lok Leipzig against Leverkusen, that's another good one. But I don't know if there's anything else that sticks out for you, George.
I wouldn't be so certain as to... I've got 1860 down to beat Darmstadt, but I think it will be... tricky, also known as the Dennis Dressel derby, after they spend most of the summer trying to sign them off them. So there's actually a bit of tension there. And there's also been rumoured that Dressel was one of our best players last year, as started the season largely on the bench and was absent for pre-season because of the stuff going on with Darmstadt. So that's actually had a bit of a knock-on onto our team. I mean, Darmstadt started the season conceding 5 and scoring none. So it will be interesting to see if we can take advantage of that. I mean, we had Eintracht Frankfurt in the first round last year, so it would be very good to get a result and get a bit of a run in the cup going. But I think the biggest, not shock, but the biggest chance of the team from a lower division being a team from the higher division is actually Magdeburg against St. Pauli. I just think Magdeburg, I've spoken about them quite a lot, but I just think they're still running high off the back of their form from last season, when I think they only lost about one game in 12. And that was when they still didn't really have much to play for. I mean, like I said a couple of weeks ago, they managed to keep Atik, despite the fact that he was pushing away for a move for much of the summer. I know they only drew 0-0 with Freiburg this weekend, but I think they are quite an impressive team, especially going forward. And, you know, St. Pauli made a slightly surprising start to the season, but you never know. It's the biggest cliche in the world, but it is the cup, and I wouldn't be entirely surprised to see them get a result against Pauli, actually.
I think it'd be interesting to see how Greece Valder FC get on against FC Augsburg. For those who don't know, Tony Cruz's dad was the manager of this club, as George kindly reminded me when we first recorded this segment, but now he's the technical director, so any German football fans might be interested to see how Tony Cruz's family's team get on. I mean, I wonder if he'll end up hang up the boots at Madrid and head straight back home to the North Coast. Stay for Greece Valder, that'll be an interesting one, but maybe it'll be a nice one to look into. I remember watching the draw on Sky here, and his dad looked quite disappointed, to be honest, when they got Augsburg. It was kind of like the only Bundesliga team they got left, and he looked a bit disappointed that he got Augsburg. So, it'll be good to see the Chris family team at Greece Valder FC. Everyone keep an eye out for them.
There's a couple of other interesting ones. Bofertal against Bochum, that's a good Ruhr derby. I wonder, I'm not really sure what. Sorry?
The worst city I've ever been in my life.
The worst city you've ever been in your life?
They've got this hanging train. Like, it literally hangs.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And it's like
a monorail thing.
Yeah, it's called the Schwebebahn. And literally, I was told to go see that, and it's literally just a line that goes from one end of the city to the other, and it's the flattest city you've ever seen in your life. I can't even describe it as anything. Like, it doesn't go, I reckon it's only like 20 kilometers like distance. It's the flattest thing you've ever seen in your life, and it just goes across from one end to the other. It takes you to the stadium, though, which is kind of cool. So if you ever go to Wuppertal Kickers, make sure you go by Schwebebahn. It'll be really exciting for you. It's like a roller coaster that goes 5 miles per hour and everyone else gets on it. It's still pointless. Just thought I'd add that in. Fun fact about Wuppertal.
So a wee cultural fact for you about Wuppertal. So, yep. Maybe a shock. Wuppertal or Esval in the fourth tier. But got the home crowd spurring them on against local side Bochum. It doesn't really stick out, but definitely a potential shock is Ulm against Nuremberg. I remember Ulm shocking Eintracht Frankfurt in 2018, just a few months after Frankfurt had won the Pokal themselves. So that could definitely be something. I mean, it wouldn't be too much of a shock. I mean, Nuremberg have been below par the last couple of years. You could definitely see that happening. Waldhof Mannheim against Eintracht Frankfurt. That was a crazy game a couple of years ago as well. Frankfurt winning 5-3. That could definitely be another high-scoring one. I believe those sides have a fan friendship as well, so that really adds another element. But a lot of great potential games. I don't know. I'll go to both of you. If you say one game that you think the your prediction for a shock is? So go to George first.
Well, I was just having a little look at FC 08 Villingen's results in recent times. They welcome Schalke on Sunday, and they've actually had a really impressive preseason. But I won't go as far in that prediction. For me, I think one shock I'd quite like to see, and I think there's potential there, is maybe Victoria Köln welcoming TSG Hoffenheim to Nordrhein-Westfalen. I mean, like we've detailed many a time, they've not been the same since Mike Wunderlich made the trip over to the Betzer, but they were a very solid team last season, haven't had the best of starts this year, but I mean, Hoffenheim are a poor side with a fairly poor tactical setup from coach Sebastian Hoeneß. I think we all kind of tipped him to be the first manager sacked in the Bundesliga. So, you know, playing at home, we know what the fans are like in Köln, don't we? So that will be interesting to see if they can pull off a result against Dietmar Hopp's Hoffenheim.
What about you, Roy? Any massive shocks? Did George steal your shocks?
Actually, I was going to mention that just as another one to bring up. I think I'm still going to stick with my Flensburg to beat Kiel. Just a team that's maybe a wee bit low in confidence. I'm going to go, like, it feels like more of a handball game, to be honest, than a football game in this fixture. It'd been absolutely cracker if it was a handball game, but from what I've heard, I don't know anything about handball. You know what, I'm talking about handball now, let's get back on track. I think that could be it, or Bayreuth against beating Bielefeld. That's my two. Are you okay?
Yep.
Is he pissing himself?
All right.
I'm just laughing at Flensburg. Why? It's such a random team to choose.
It's a derby.
Go ahead.
It's a bit shitty. It's a derby. It's not on your list.
All right, I'm gonna be quiet now.
Yeah, perhaps. If I was to go for any, maybe not the most exciting choice, but probably I'd go for Ulm against Nuremberg. It wouldn't really be a shock to me. It wouldn't be surprising. In fact, it's going to happen.
Did you know that's where Einstein was born? Einstein was born in Ulm. Fun fact.
Fun fact, Albert Einstein was born in Ulm, so maybe they can somehow take inspiration from that and beat those Bavarians. Nuremberg. So
the whole thing.
That rounds up our DFB Pokal preview. We'll just move on to our quiz now. And after last week's absolute disgrace of a quiz, which is based on some idiot on our website's subjective opinion, we've got to George again for the quiz. Just to see if he can do it, if he can handle it. And if this is another bad one, then I don't think he's ever getting it again. So I'll hand it over to you, George.
You'll have a chance.
Yeah, well, anyone who did listen last week will probably have only just, or maybe not even have recovered from the emotional turmoil that we put you all through. And I don't think Roy and Colin have quite recovered, so there was a certain degree of subjectivity that involved in last week's quiz, although I did make the point that it was to do with the nominal names of the derbies that have a name. But anyway, we don't talk about it anymore. So I've gone for a completely...
Oh, we do.
This quiz cannot be doubted in any way. It can't be questioned. It's pure stats. So what I have here, wouldn't you like to know, is this is Transfermarkt, very credible source, which is perhaps what I was lacking last time. The top 25 list of, wait for it, goal scorers in the Bundesliga from countries outside of Germany.
Oh.
I'm going to win.
Interesting.
And now I'm going to prepare my tally. I'm slowly getting better at this quizzing business. Still got the one from last week off, actually. All right, so there's 25 players. I would be extremely impressed, even with our caliber of knowledge, if you got all 25 of them. So I'm going to, usual job, the 10 minutes. Whoever gets the most in the 10 minutes is anointed the winner. So before we start, maybe I should say, do you have any questions?
Do we take it in turns or do you go one each? Or not the same thing. do we take it in turns or is that a free-for-all?
We take it in turns until it inevitably goes downhill and it just becomes free-for-all. But we try for as long as possible to take it in turns.
Okay. And is it an extra point for the number of goals? So are we just going for goal scorer? Nobody's going to get that.
Makes it
easier.
All right. I could potentially say if you get the club, but I think a lot of them, the club's kind of obvious. So, and some of them played for more than one club, but ignore the club business. All right. Okay. The 10 minutes starting now. And Roy, you lost last time, so you get to start.
Thanks. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ailton, play for Vedo.
Ailton, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Claudio Pizarro.
Yeah, he's second.
Val Gott. Gekas. He was top goal scorer one season.
No.
Ah.
That was a very strange choice to go for. But...
he was top goal scorer one season.
Okay.
Gekas.
Fuck off, I'm not starting to say again.
That's a very strange one to go for in the third attempt of the whole thing.
Marcelinho.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he scored 77 goals.
I'm going to pick up a credible point just because my last guest was shite, Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, it makes it easier. There are like obvious choices.
Yeah.
Arjen Robben.
Yep, seventh on the list. He finished one off 100 goals. 99. Man. I'm sure you all know what one off 100 is, but yeah, 99 goals, seventh on the list.
Luca Toni.
Interesting. I don't think he's not in the top 25. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you this list after we're done, and any qualms you have, you can take it up with the list or with me. But he's not on the list.
That's okay. I love that song about him, the Luca Toni song. It's amazing. If you haven't heard, I'll send you later.
Roy Mackay.
Good shout.
Yep. 78 goals.
I'll stick with my Bayern Munich strikers, Mario Mandzukic.
No.
I'm terrible at this, by the way.
Erling Haaland?
No.
Surely not. Not yet.
Number 25 on the list, who's a, I wouldn't consider him a friend of mine, but I'm acquainted with him. He, 68 goals.
Cool, man.
No. It's not.
Oh,
it's
fuck. You said you met Kingsley Coman at your student home.
I can confirm it's not Kingsley Coman, though. No. I've got other friends in the Bundesliga.
Oh, fuck's sake.
I don't understand how.
He met him in Munich.
I know the story.
You'll let me on.
I might have led you down a false path here. So ignore that.
I'm struggling already. Giovanni Elber.
Yeah, third on the list, 133 goals.
Let's take a Bayern player at the moment.
Well, you're missing.
Is Aubameyang on it?
Yep.
Well, I could show.
Eighth, 98 goals.
Nice. He actually did pretty well at them.
Stefan Chapuisat.
Yep. It was his birthday recently.
Happy birthday.
Petrić at Haspel.
No.
Olic.
Yes.
Practically handed me that.
Famously missed the penalty in the shootout against Chelsea. That's what he's best known for.
Is that who you know?
No, he's no. I do like him for that reason, but I wouldn't call him an acquaintance.
I don't know about the acquaintance thing. That's confusing me. It's gonna throw me off, to be honest. I think. I'm really annoyed. My first guess was cracking, and then I've just done shit since then. It's got to be Sebastian Haller.
Nah.
Berbatov.
Yeah. Great shout. 69 goals. For those who find that amusing.
I'm actually stumped here. I can't think of anyone right now. Raphael van der Vaart?
No.
I feel like I've got all these good shouts and then they're just not working.
Ivan Klasnic?
No.
That's going to be my next Croatian guess. Is there any Croatians on the list?
There is actually quite an obvious one.
Can we shout now?
Yeah, this is when it's a scrap.
An obvious one.
Mario Mandzukic already, didn't I?
Yeah, it's not Mandzukic.
Yeah, I've said already. That's fine. Oh my god.
Yeah, I know.
An obvious Croatian.
Rebic?
No.
No, he's already. Did I see that? Obvious creation.
No. We have to basically yell at it. now I'm just thinking of creations. What have you done? Give us some hints now. We're starting to get
Kramaric. Kramaric.
Yes. He's one of the few players on this list that's still in the league. So, you've got four of the top five, but the one you haven't got is also from a former Yugoslav state.
Edin Džeko.
No.
Ah, oh, that's a good shout, though.
Right country, though.
Right.
Oh, Ibisevic.
Yes.
Did his graphite count? I count, no?
No, he didn't. He was only scored for like two seasons, didn't he? So.
Meet the bottom of the list. I don't know. What's the bottom list? What's the number of the bottom of the list?
68. That's why I said the bottom is 68. And that's my mate.
That's your mate. I really want to know who that is now. I'm never going to guess it. Just trying to think.
I feel like it may be somebody that played for Chelsea.
No, he didn't.
And you get one of them. Nah, he's not scored. He wouldn't have scored. Maybe Barrios.
No.
Mohamed Zidane.
No.
Alex Alves.
No, this must be getting a tough listen for anyone who's still left on at this point.
Is there a timer?
Yeah. 30 seconds.
Youngman's son.
Nope.
Oh. I was about to say a German name. Basically, Stefan Kiesling. I was like, no, he's German.
Andre Voronin.
No.
Firmino.
No. And there we are. That's what?
Time to name it. Oh, wait, is Novakovic on that list?
No.
I'm thinking all the names there. Why are they all coming in my head now? Uja, Anthony Uja.
Nah, Uja's not on there.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop naming names now. Sorry, you can go through the list if you want.
Okay, would you like to know the scores or would you like to know the players first?
I know I lost, so let's just hear the scores, the list.
The score is 10-3 to Colin, just so you know.
Anyway, I got good shouts as well.
Okay, so you actually got all of the top eight. Anthony Yeboah, you forgot, 96 goals, Bundesliga. I find it strange that you said Robin and then none of you said Ribery.
I didn't think.
It's not my fault if you didn't think, mate. Klaas-Jan Huntelaar.
Oh, right. Raul.
No.
Bannister, right?
And then Klimovic. That's sort of they're probably like the biggest names. But yeah, do you want to know who number 25 is?
Your friend.
Yeah, Paulo Sergio.
Right. Leverkusen.
Yeah. And Bayern. Scored 68 goals in the Bundesliga.
And how do you know him?
Well, if you ever look at the Bundesliga Instagram, you'll see that there's one person who always liking it and commenting it, and that's Paulo Sergio. And when it was his birthday, we posted something saying happy birthday, and he replied and sent a DM saying thanks. So I consider on that level, he said thanks so much or something like that, like a really grateful thank you. So on that level, I consider him a friend. He may not consider me a friend, but I consider him in my inner circle.
That's a very flimsy connection, I must say. That's especially to use it as a quiz clue. Like,
oh no, come on! That just threw me off. I got confused. Well, who did we not get then? Who was left?
Well, they were pretty much all. I said all the big ones.
Shred them out.
Yeah, cool. I know.
You want all of them?
He'll send it to you, right? So another quiz. I won, unlucky Roy, but I'm sure you'll bounce back in the future because I think that was a fairly decent quiz. I think we'll let George do the quiz again. So when the time comes again, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was another good podcast. Good review of the Zweite Liga and Dritte Liga action, but also preview of the Pokal results. So keep an eye on the results in the weekend and we'll be back next week. See you later.
Scotland have bounced back again here.